hope you didn't forget what you were saying. You were talking about the Royal Entertainers Club?
Having been a member of the Royal Entertainers for quite a few years, this Hall of Fame idea was brought up in order to boost the club. And I think it was a very nice gesture because it had to do with honoring some of the people whom attended the dances during that era, you know? Mm-hmm. And those people came out, some of the older people came out just because of this, you know?
Right.
Now, there are a lot of younger folk that really don't know anything about us as such. They know us, but not as musicians, you know?
Right.
But the people who knew us as musicians, they were out there that night. It was a very nice thing. Very nice. I think it was 7 of those given out. 7. Let's see, Ida Goodson, Harold Andrews, Wallace Mercer, Johnny Warren, Robert Willis, Raymond Shepherd, and myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, is Johnny Warren, is he?
Johnny Warren is here. He's a trumpet player. He played with Raymond. Uh-huh. He was not a, he never, you know, he just played with Raymond Shepherd's band. He never played with anybody else. It was Johnny that played with Raymond. Robert Willis played with Raymond. That was the only band, traveling band, that they played with. Mm-hmm. See, they were hometown people, you know. Mm-hmm. Raymond's hometown was here. And that's what they left here, and they'd go make a round and come back, you know, and mm-hmm. this type thing.
And what about Robert Willis? Was
Robert
he
Willis,
from here too?
He's good music. He's a saxophone player. He doesn't play anymore. But he played with Raymond Shepherd, and he was a darn good saxophonist. He was a good tenor saxophone man. Johnny Warren was a straight trumpet player. He played what he saw. Mm-hmm. That was the extent. He wasn't able to improvise. He just played what he saw, but he could read anything that you put in front of him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, did most of the musicians that lived here, could they read, or what was the...
Yes, let's put it this way. When I came to Pensacola, there were very few musicians that couldn't read. Very few. Because most of the kids had gone to college. They were coming back home, you know, and played. They liked Pensacola. Pensacola was a nice place. Mm-hmm. They'd come back home, they'd start them a band, and they'd write music and read it and start to play in and all this kind of thing. But most of the musicians in Pensacola, when I came here, were reading musicians. Mm-hmm. Here of late, you find a lot of guys who get a record. You've heard this. You've seen this, I'm sure. You've got a lot of bands right now who rent a hall 2-3 times a week to take a recorder up there and just sit down and listen to it, you know, and pick it up by ear. That's it. And they play it that way nowadays. You probably heard Johnny Carson interview somebody on national television. He asked the individual if they could read music. He said, no. Then Johnny asked him, said, now how do you write it if you can't read it? This is a thing that's happening every day in public life. There are a lot of people who pick up a guitar and don't know what he's doing. He's just playing. And then he'll hum a few, you know, notes or then come up and say, well, I wrote such and such a thing. But you can't read it if he sees it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. During the day I was talking about is a time when people had to be able to produce. Mm-hmm. Oh, you just weren't there.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think, like, the musicians here, I'm thinking of Ida Goodson in particular. Did she come from a different generation, an older generation?
No, she came. Ida Goodson was around my age.
Yeah.
Ida's around my age. I'm 68 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't know it.
She's around my age. And say that the fact that I've taken care of myself, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else is going to do it. I've never worked really hard on the jobs I've worked on as foreman in construction. I didn't have to work. And this comes from a bit of training, as I said to begin with, I went to school. Mm-hmm. And anybody that goes to school that ain't got no business getting out there trying to kill himself, trying to show somebody how to do something. Mm-hmm. Or trying to do it. You tell him how to do it, that's it. Mm-hmm. So I've never really worked hard. I've worked a lot of hours, but it was my responsibility. But Ida's a very nice person. She's a nice piano player. Did you ever hear her play?
Yeah, we've heard it.
You heard her play, huh?
Yeah.
She plays nice, but I don't think Ida reads. No, she might make a few bad chords sometime, Mm-hmm. Wherein if a piano player would sit down there and the music is sitting in front of him, he'd play what he sees, Ida would play it, might be a little bit different,
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
She said that when she played with reading bands, she'd always be glad if they had a rehearsal.
That's
first,
right.
Because she'd be able to hear
that's
the tune,
that's exactly
she'd get it
right.
in her head, and then she'd know
that's
what
right.
she was playing.
Once, in any with a piano player, you've got to be able to make the chords, Music is written in chord form. Mm-hmm. And if you're adapted to listening to the chords and putting them down, mm-hmm. you can make it.
Mm-hmm. No, I just wondered if she played like an older style or a new, more sort of New Orleans style type of music than you, or if you...
Well, we played the same thing. We played songs, the same things that mm-hmm. Duke Ellington played, that mm-hmm. Benny Goodman played, that Tommy Dorsey played, all those same songs, we played them.
Right. But she seems like she played a little, maybe some different tunes or different styles?
Well, she might have played some different tunes than they played, but she played the same things that they played. It was the same era.
So like when she was, what she's saying is when she was playing with
the bands,
played, then she was able to play. What
that's right. She played the same things that the others played.
Okay. The other thing, since you traveled around a lot and heard a lot of the music of that time, people have talked about a Gulf Coast style or a Pensacola sort of style, because a lot of musicians have come from this area, seems like. And I just wondered if, from your experience, if you found that to be true.
Well, let's say this. You, as a musician, you play what you see. Now, there was a style in New Orleans that Pete Maravich, he plays, they call it, what do they call that?
Were you talking about the basketball player?
No, I'm talking about
Pete.
Pete, they have a clarinet player.
Oh, clarinet.
What's Pete's name?
Oh, Pete Fountain?
Pete Fountain.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry about Maravich.
Okay, Maravich, he is playing basketball.
My mistake. Pete
okay.
Fountain.
All right.
They play a New Orleans type of jazz,
Uh-huh.
Well, that's where they said jazz began, mm-hmm. in New Orleans and Memphis, mm-hmm. Tennessee, and all this type of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's basically the same thing. Because mm-hmm. once you put it on paper, any musician can play it.
Mm-hmm. So as far as you know, there wasn't any real
there
style
was no,
called Pensacola
No, there
jazz.
Was no particular style here in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. It was just people who got together, got a band together. Harold had a beautiful band at one time. He had about 14 pieces. And he did a bit of arranging. Wallace did a bit of arranging for it. And he whatever he wrote, we played. It was just a jazz type thing, you know.
Did you ever meet any members of the Wire family here in Pennsylvania?
Wire? Yes, I know George Wire now. I didn't know his father. His father was a musician, was a music teacher.
Yeah.
I didn't know him, but I know George. And I couldn't tell you one thing about the Wires, so far as their musical ability, you know? I don't know.
So they didn't play, you didn't play with them?
No, I didn't play with them. All I can say about, I knew he was a music teacher. As far as his being able to play jazz music, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. There was a person named Morris Lucky, the guitar player. Did you ever hear him?
Well, I've heard of him. Yeah. I knew he was a musician.
He passed not too long ago. Must have been last year. It was...
He played guitar?
He played banjo. You know, banjos were out back in those days too, you know. Douglas, Buttsy Douglas, he was a saxophone player. But all these guys were before my time. When I came here, they weren't playing, see. But they had been in the music business. Oh, quite a few people. But then, if you don't know them, you just don't know them. You heard of them, you know.
Sure.
What were some of the places that around town that you played in?
Around town?
Yeah.
Oh, we played across the beach over here. What's the name of this place across the beach over here?
I don't know.
Please play white dances over on the beach. Pensacola Beach. And we play at Sanders Beach. We play at the local halls, or like colored halls, you know. The Dreamland Ballroom is right around the corner here.
Yeah.
It was the largest place around here. And we play at Williams Hall. Oh, incidentally, on Sunday mornings, those guys who didn't want to go to church would go around to the Dreamland Hall and just start practicing, in a sense. And you'd be surprised. By 4 o'clock that afternoon, you'd have 400 or 500 people up in there dancing.
I bet.
And every musician from everywhere would have come by there just to sit in and play. We call it a jam session, you know? And we had all types of culture. We had the whites. We had white boys come by there and just sit in. Well, fellows from out to the Navy Yard who were playing in the Navy band from different places, you know, they'd come by and sit in. And to be frank with you, this is... Music was one of the first to begin this breaking the color bar. A musician was a musician. It didn't make any difference where you came from, what color you were. You could play music. Hey, man, we're together, you know. And we had all types of culture on Sunday mornings around to the Dreamland.
Now, is the Dreamland, is that where
That's
Abe
where
Pierce's?
Abe Pierce's place is now.
No kidding.
Okay, because we've heard it called the Savoy Club.
The Savoy. The Dreamland was
before
the Savoy. After the Dreamland, then the Savoy. Now it's Abe Pierce.
But it's the same place.
Same identical place.
Is it actually the same building?
Well, one of them is. The backside of it on the Villa Street, going in from the Villa Street side, it's the same building, just renovated differently. You know, it's been... put the upstairs and all this kind of thing. Have you been in there?
Yeah, we went in there yesterday.
Yeah, well,
Abe Pierce Jr. showed us around.
Well, that side over there was Savoy. It was the Dreamland. And when Abe took over, they added this side to it, the Belmont Street side to it.
Yeah, okay.
So that big room, that's what...
The original.
That's the original Savoy or Dreamland.
What do you remember about when it changed over, when it became the...
No, I don't. I really don't.
And when it was the Dreamland, that was like, again, late 30s, early 40s?
It was during the late 30s. It was a Dreamland during the late 30s. Oh, and early 40s. And a lot of 40s. Then Abe took over, and it was the Savoy. No, it was Savoy right after the Dreamland. When Abe took over, it became the 506.
Right. So like right after the war, it...
During the war, it was a Dreamland. And right after the war, it was the Savoy, because it would belong to Richard Morris. Bob James had it during the Dreamland years. Mm-hmm. Richard Morris had it during the Savoy years. Abe took over and named it the 506.
Okay. And that was right around 1950?
That's right. That's right. There has been any number of dance halls around here. We used to go out. Kufion Park. Bands used to play out there. Kufion Park.
Yeah, heard about that.
There was a dance hall down on... I think it's Salamanca Street. And that's on the beach, on this side of the beach, you know. I don't recall the name of it now. Been any number. We used to go out to Pitts Beach. Mm-hmm. Pitts Beach. We played at Pitts Beach, you know. People would open up a place and they'd name it this thing, the other thing, and the band would go down there and play.
Have you ever, Ida mentioned a couple of clubs. The Esquire Club?
Esquire. I've never played the Esquire Club.
Okay. Or the Belmont Theater?
Yes. Belmont Theater, that's... Yeah, that's 100 years ago. That's 100 years ago. I never played in the Belmont Theater. She probably did, because this is our home, you know.
Yeah. She said she did.
Mm-hmm. But she was playing there in the late 20s.
Yeah.
I was in Texas, more or less.
But were they still having shows in the Belmont Theater
when you came here?
When I came, yes, they were. They'd have... Sammy White and all those people would come in, you know, those road shows. They would come and perform and all
like
that
stuff. Like vaudeville?
Right, that's the place where they'd have the vaudevilles at the Belmont Theater.
That's the other... Did you ever play, or the bands that you knew, did you ever play with vaudeville, or was that different circuit?
We were on an RKO circuit. Mm-hmm. And we didn't play vaudeville as such. Mm-hmm. We might be playing a theater engagement today, and we learn when we go to work this afternoon that they're going to have an entertainer here. Mm-hmm. And that entertainer would be such and such a person. They bring their own music, so just be ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what kind of events did you play for? Was it just mainly in like halls and clubs, or did you play special events ever?
Well, we played my type of music. We played dances. We had we played a very few schools. You know, we go to a school and
Would you play private parties?
Our band was too big to play private parties.
Yeah, unless
16
real
pieces,
rich.
You know, huh?
Had to be very rich. Too.
16 pieces. They weren't hiring that type of band for that. You know.
Yeah.
They would probably get whomever wanted to have such. You know, would get a piano player, singer.
Yeah.
Drummer and so forth. But ours were really road bands, you know. Mm-hmm. Big places. Mm-hmm. Like, say the Savoy around 506. We probably come here playing the 506 tonight for a fee. Tonight we leave him. I might be in Jacksonville the next night. Mm-hmm. This is the type of thing that we did most. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever play, or your band, the bands that you were with, ever play for like other kinds of traveling shows, like minstrel shows or medicine shows,
no,
or anything like that?
I never was in a type of band like that. Never played in a minstrel, never played in a medicine show.
Tent show, you know,
no,
basically.
We never did that. Mm-hmm. I knew a musician who was here that did that. His name was Bates. He came here with a minstrel, and he played with Raymond Shepherd. He was a good musician, though. Mm-hmm.
What did he play?
He played saxophone. He played tenor saxophone. There's been quite a few people who came to Pensacola with minstrel shows and quit the show and stayed in Pensacola. But I never had that experience.
Are there any other of those people that are still around?
Most of those folk are dead. Bates has been dead about 5-6 years.
Yeah. Did you ever hear of anybody named Clarence or Geraldine Smith?
Clarence or Geraldine Smith.
Uh-huh. That might have been in
from this area.
Yeah. Or settled down. They might have been a couple that did the that thing, came through, and then just decided to stay.
I can't say that I do.
Okay.
I can't say that I do.
No, we had heard that they were used to perform in minstrel shows and had settled down.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
That is a possibility, but I can't recall that.
Okay.
Maybe when you were able to run Wallace down, he might have heard. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Wallace is a darn good musician, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was a good entertainer. He could write. He could sing. He could play. Well, he just had it all.
Did you ever know, did he ever make any records of Chinyo?
Wallace?
Yeah.
Wallace made a few records at his house.
Did he really?
Uh-huh. He made a few records. He might have some of them now.
What, and put them out on his own?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Like 78s or 45s or?
Something like 78, I think.
Uh-huh.
He might have some of them now.
Uh-huh. That's great.
He, Wallace wrote 2 or 3 songs before he was married. He wrote a song for a girl in Little Rock. Oh, he did a lot of things like that. He's a nice person. He's nice to talk to, and he's a very good musician.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked together quite a while.
Well, I'm curious, just from your experience, it seems like for the size of what Pensacola was, say, back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, which, wasn't that big compared to a place like Kansas City or Chicago or New York, that there seems to be quite a lot of music, or there was quite a lot of music going on?
Yes, it was. Would you believe that most musicians who came to Pensacola had no idea of staying in Pensacola?
Mm-hmm.
Hospitality, people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, you'd meet an awful lot of good people, people who were willing to help you, give you an opportunity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, if you're any good, you can make it on your own anyway, you know. But I think if you can't live in Pensacola, you can't live nowhere in the world.
So you really enjoyed living?
I haven't regretted one day. The reason I'd leave and come back, I'd go where I wanted to go, come on back home. You know, I made my home here, so if I wanted to go somewhere, I'd go on off. I worked in every state in the union about working as in construction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd leave and come back home, go off and stay and come back. Sometimes if I wanted to pick up my horn and play while I'm back, I'd do that, you know.
Hmm. Why do you think there was all that musical activity here?
Why?
Yeah. I mean, do you think there is any reason? Or?
That's a good question. From the time I've been here, there just seemed to be a lot of musical talent around here. I taught music. I taught, I had about 45 kids. Raymond, before my time, oh, that was an influx of musicians, you know. Guys like the fellow that got killed, he had in his class something like 20, 25, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when they'd finish high school, they'd go to school, and they'd come back to Pensacola, and they'd bring that music back with them, you know. And they'd go away, and they'd meet different people, and different people would come in and all this type of thing, and they'd fall in love with Pensacola and just stay.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a nice musical center. It was at that time, and it still is, because you have, how many high schools do we have here? About 5 or 6? How many? About 5? I think we've got something like 5 or 6 high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of them got a band. Most of the high schools, most of the junior schools, they've got bands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you think in terms of all the kids, each band has more than 100 kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to rub off on somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to rub off on somebody. It's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the kids I used to teach, he's teaching music now at one of the high schools.
Mm-hmm.
it's just that thing, just one of those things, you know.
Yeah. Well, now when you were, after you'd come here and settled here, did you do much traveling down to South Florida, or did you play mostly around up in the Panhandle?
Well, I played up here. I had no reason to go down to South Florida. I met some good musicians from down there. Now in West Palm Beach, a very fine musician. He taught at Florida A&M. His name was Leander Kirksey. Kirksey. Mm-hmm. You heard of this 100 Steps, you know? Yeah. You remember the time when Florida A&M had the best band there was in the country? Mm-hmm. He was a man who started it, Leander Kirksey. Mm-hmm. And he was a good saxophone player. Mm-hmm. I met him because this is Leander's home now. This goes back a long time. This goes back another 100 years, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's much older than I. Mm-hmm. But if he got his musical training here, so it started a long time ago, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he went on down, made good at Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. And he had many students down there at Florida A&M. Mm-hmm. It was real good musical school he had.
Well, when you were playing with bands here, would you go like to Panama City or the Quinnipiac?
Yeah, we'd go down to Panama City. We'd go over to Milton. Mm-hmm. We didn't go to Tallahassee. There was no need to go to Tallahassee because you had bands in Tallahassee, you know. We just didn't have a traveling band
right here. Right.
The only traveling band out of here was Raymond Shepherd. And Raymond Shepherd decided that he wasn't going to go on the road anymore. He stayed right here, mm-hmm. you know. And there was enough room around here for everybody. Mm-hmm. We did not, after coming to Pensacola, I never ventured out anymore to play.
But you go like for weekend gigs like Panama City or Milton and stuff like that. Would you ever go to Mobile?
Went to Mobile.
Yeah.
Right. I played in Mobile while I was working over there. I played there with a band, Holman's band. Mm-hmm. Holman was a music teacher in Mobile. He also had a jazz band. See, he made a jazz band out of his students. Mm-hmm. I wasn't one of his students, of course. When I went to Mobile, then I became a member of the band because mm-hmm. the experience that I had, you know, I had to help them and their band, you know.
Did you ever hear of living here, Mac and his Merrymakers?
Mac Thomas?
Yeah.
Mac Thomas, yes. But I never knew Mac. I heard that he had a band. I never knew Mac to play. See, he had stopped playing when I got here. Uh-huh. They say that he had people in the band they call, let me get these names together. Morris Lucky played with him, Mac.
Yeah.
He had a drummer. I don't even know what the guy's name was, but I knew him very well. Mac and his Merrymakers. Well, I had so many people around here.
No,
playing,
I know.
You know,
it's incredible.
But names, as I said, after 40 years is a long time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those guys have been dead so long, you know.
Well, go ahead.
I was just wondering with King Leach's band, I don't know whether you mentioned the names of the people that were in that or you remembered any of them. Are there any still alive now?
I don't think. I don't think so. More than Wallace and myself. Leach is dead. His brother's dead. The drummer is dead. Charlie Bruton is dead, the saxophone player. Mm-hmm. The guitar player, Bobo. You heard somebody mention Bobo?
Yeah, yeah.
Was his name Emery? Is that
what's Edwards. Emery Edwards. Mm-hmm. We called him Bobo.
Yeah.
He's dead. That tenor saxophone player's name was Grant. He's dead. Everybody's dead but Wallace and I.
I know.
Well, we're glad you're not.
We came about 10 or 20 years too late.
Hey, I'm so happy I'm here.
Yeah, well.
It's the only thing I know. The best thing I know.
One thing I want to ask you about, you mentioned earlier about those jam sessions over at the the Dreamland, or Savoy or whatever. And that whites and blacks and people would get together then. Were there ever any mixed bands at all, or was that
mixed
pretty,
bands?
Yeah, with whites.
Well, not
and around blacks.
Here. There was no mixed bands as such. We used to have the white guys would come in and sit in the band and play with us, you know.
Okay.
But there was no such thing as a mixed band.
Okay. Uh-huh.
No.
And would you ever play at? Would black bands ever play at like white clubs?
Sure. They'd play white clubs.
Uh-huh.
You'd take a lot of white clubs, like over on the beach, it's a white club.
Uh-huh.
Saunders Beach is a white club. I had several white clubs around here during that time, you know.
Yeah.
Owners change names, they'd go out of business and this type thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd go and play at those white places.
Mm-hmm.
But when a musician, as I said, if a musician comes to Pensacola and there's a band playing somewhere, he's going to go where the musicians are. It doesn't really matter what color he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to introduce himself. If you can play, man, come on, take my horn. Usually, they carry their mouthpieces with them because you're more used to your mouthpiece.
Sure.
The instrument itself is same difference, you know.
Sure.
But you carry your mouthpiece with you and sit in the band, come on, sit down and play. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things, you know.
Huh.
I had an experience in Monroe, Louisiana. I was the first black man that ever lived in this hotel. And the reason I was there was to teach a white boy how to play trombone.
Oh,
that was the only reason I was there.